A fucking seagull just flew out down and stole my breakfast out of my hand. Welcome to the Sunday Movie Marathon.
I really enjoyed that.
I'm the seagull from Chris's nightmares.
I'm Chris.
I'm whatever the food was that the seagull took away.
That's a chocolate twist.
I'm the Sainsbury's chocolate twist.
I'm surprised that bird's alive. I didn't think birds could just eat like chocolate twist.
Did you not think to fucking lighthouse it?
Nah.
Like, he grabs the seagull and just starts whacking.
I mean, I thought about it for a split second, but it ran away.
My Sainsbury's chocolate twist. Yeah. No.
They're pretty good though, them chocolate twists.
Oh, it actually wasn't. It was really shit.
Oh, then you can't have been that upset about it then.
Did you a favour, really?
I think that's what pissed me off even more. Because I took a bite out of it. I was like, I can't believe I've wasted my money on this shit chocolate twist. And then a seagull stole it.
That would make me grateful.
Yeah.
But like, thank you. Now I have a reason to buy a better breakfast. That's not a breakfast.
Gotta get a Sainsbury's chocolate sort of twist thing. Great.
It was my panic decision because they didn't have anything else.
Don't you just like, I'm going to change your life forever. Just get like stock up on eggs. And then when you have no time in the morning, just get a mug, crack an egg into it, whisk it around, bit of milk, bit of pepper, bit of salt, maybe a bit of cheese, whatever you want to do with it. Pop it in the microwave, 1 minute.
And that only works if you have a microwave.
Yeah, which we don't.
Oh, okay.
But I do agree with you because I often make eggs in the morning.
But that works for every microwave haver out there.
I think it was just because I got paid that day, so I hadn't been able to buy anything from the shop, so we had like nothing in the flat.
Yeah, but when you went to the shop, you were like, chocolate twist.
Yeah, because it was at that point, I didn't really have a choice. I couldn't buy some eggs.
Well.
I was on my way to work.
Do you do not have like a microwave at work?
Yeah.
I could have done that.
Right, there we go.
Mm.
Bob's your uncle. Sold.
That's actually you.
So, anytime you need, it's just quick thinking. You should have asked me. Mm. I have a sort of breakfast dilemma, Max. Yeah. You could have said, I would have sorted you out, bro. If you don't confide in me, and that's, you're too bad. That's why you've let yourself down. Not only have you let the podcast down, you left us, you let us down, and yourself.
It's always the way.
I guess so. Sometimes it's just the way. Halloween! It's almost Halloween. It's tomorrow. Yeah. By the sound of the way that we are doing this podcast, it is tomorrow. We only planned for Halloween.
No, I'm working.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm working.
I'm working.
Mm. Cool.
I think we've already done our plans anyway.
Yeah.
We've already Halloweened it up.
Mm.
Gone crazy.
May come home, watch a movie or something.
Cool.
Me and Darcy broke out this board game that Kai got us for Christmas called Horrified, which is like a universal like horror monsters board game. So we might play that.
Is that the one you refused to come out because you were playing it by yourself?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that one.
I wanted to wait till I finished the game.
Great. Okay.
It's actually quite fun when you get in it.
It is, yeah. It's very complicated.
Yeah, it has no need to be like how it is.
I can't wait.
The last time we played it, when we like finally figured out what we were actually doing, I think that was like the most excited we've been in a while. We were so like just full of joy because we'd spent so long trying to work it out. And we finally like the pieces were in place.
Because you're making us sound like the saddest couple ever to have ever lived. No enjoyment ever in your young 20s.
No, that's sort of what happened. Like I woke up to a slew of messages just in triumph and euphoria. I thought you were pregnant or something with the amount of joy and exasperation you were giving off in the chat. We've done it. We've conquered the unconquerable. Oh, what do you do? You would figure out this game, this board game. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's Chris for you.
Fun times had by all.
Yeah.
Sure.
We got anything else to talk about?
No, we've already just
what else has happened, really?
Yeah.
Fuck all.
Matthew Perry died.
No, he did.
That was a sad thing that happened.
That was actually really lame.
That was really sad. I thought he had woken me up because he had died, because I woke up at an ungodly hour and I saw that he had died. And I was like, this is why I've woken up. Yeah. But it was because the clocks went forward or back or whatever they do. Yeah,
they went backward.
Because of him. Mm. He put it in motion.
Everyone got extra sleep.
Mm.
Except you, Max.
Yeah. Great guy. Great guy. No, we got... Wait, do we get more sleep? Yeah.
Yeah, we got an extra hour.
Well, I still woke up at fucking 6 a.m.
though. Yeah, we woke up at like 7:30.
Jesus.
Yeah, but that's because it would have been 8:30, right?
Yeah, we would have had like a full like 8.5 hours of sleep by that point.
Mm-hmm.
We just went to bed quite early as well, didn't we?
Yeah, he died and that was sad. And then I watched an episode of Friends and I was like, this isn't as good as I remember it being. I love those guys. I like that show a lot, but I don't really feel like going back to it ever again. I've watched it like 20 times over.
Yeah,
I've seen it quite a few times.
I've gotten over it.
It's a comfort show for me.
I never put it on.
I used to have it on in the background just all the time. And rinse it.
Yeah, but I was never really watching it. It'd be like on if you're like talking to people or doing work or something.
I had like the DVD box set as a teenager, so I used to just put it on and play video games or revise or something. So it would just be on, but I wasn't actually really paying attention.
Yeah, we'd put it on when there was nothing else on, just so something was on the TV. Because my mum hates it. Like, she just doesn't like it.
Yeah, I tried watching an episode, but it was like, it's one of those where you can't look directly at it.
Yeah.
It's quite, because it's... That's right.
Just because there's nothing going on in like the mise-en-scene.
That
the mise-en-scène, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It's just like,
Like,
if you've seen it a million times, you know exactly, you know how it blocks even.
Yeah, you could probably every describe episode, every room and every episode. Some people like know every line to every episode, which I think is absolutely mad.
That is mad. I probably do at this point. Probably do, you know.
Well, I guess a lot of it is quite quotable. I guess it'd be like... knowing all the lines to an episode of The Simpsons. It's not too far out of, like, thought, is it?
No. That was good writing for what it was back in the day.
What, Friends?
Sort of, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean...
memorable.
Yeah, it's
memorable.
I was going to say, it's still going in spirit.
There's a lot of quotable moments, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't...
I love all those quotable moments. Speaking of quotable moments... God. It's not really a quotable moment. We watched some movies.
It was
a horror comedy special for the last one of the year, for Halloween, even though it's not October when this comes out. You get it still. How about that? We watched Phantom of the Paradise. We watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And then we watched Tusk.
Hey, Chris picked the first one. What was the first one taken away?
Yeah, so I picked Phantom of the Paradise, directed by Brian De Palma from 1974. This is a like rock musical. It's a hybrid of the stories of Phantom of the Opera and Faust, about a composer who is making a new musical version of the Faust story when he is double-crossed by a music producer. And ends up becoming deformed, this horrible creature with a half a face, essentially.
Not a horrible creature. He's just a person like who's had half his face melted off.
I don't know, he looks pretty horrible.
Yeah, because he's got his mask on.
Yeah, the mask is horrible. It doesn't make him a horrible
creature.
He's got
his little sort of like Birdman, Cyberman type mask on. It looked like a Cyberman mask.
To be fair, the mask is actually fucking horrific, in fairness.
Yeah, the music producers opening a new rock palace, according to Letterboxd, called The Paradise.
Okay.
And that's kind of the movie.
That is kind of the movie, yeah, to be fair.
Woo! Yeah!
Brian De Palma's back after Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
That's the only other one of his movies
I think he should just fuck off at this point.
Brian De Palma, thank you very much for all those classic ones. He looked like a bird, and
He did look like a bird.
Also, like he had the little
like a robot.
Why did he paint his eyes? Is it like black as well, like Batman? Even
I assume that's to like keep so no one can see anything of what he looks like underneath it. Because if it's like black,
it only covered half his face. It was like Batman.
Maybe
like how Batman's mask covers half his face.
Thought it looked cool.
Well, yeah, maybe. Or
if you get like burned, if you become a burn victim, or as Chris said so eloquently, a horrible, disgusting little creature. I guess you can sort of have free reign over what sort of mask you want to wear. No one's going to say shit to you because you're a burn victim. So I guess he could do that. But didn't like it. Really, really boring, bland movie. just nothing about it really enticed me. You got the girl from Suspiria. She's in it.
Yeah.
She sings. Everybody sings in this. But everybody sings really terribly. And I don't know if that was like a decision. But
possibly.
Or Brian, the boy, made. But she was the only one who could sing pretty well. And then when everybody else sung, it felt like they weren't even like doing it for a joke or whatever. It was like,
I don't know, man. I thought Beef was pretty wild in.
No, I don't know. I don't know about Beef, though. I felt like they could have got someone better than Beef.
Possibly. I just like saying Beef.
Yeah, but anybody could have been called Beef.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the mad thing is the music producer, Swan, the guy who plays him, Paul Williams, like did all the music and everything. He's a really, really good singer, but he doesn't sing at all in the movie.
That's mad. Aw.
That he is pretty mad.
He looked like a fucking weirdo, I tell you that.
What, in the movie or?
Yeah. Well, that's not the only place I've seen him. Just like out on the street, I'm just like that fucking guy.
I find it quite interesting seeing him in this because I like most recognize him for like all the stuff he did with the Muppets. Like, I think he's in the Muppets movie at one point, I think, and he was in like a couple episodes of the show.
Nice.
So I always just think of him as like this nice, warm little character who plays around with the Muppets.
Oh, really? He came across as like a freak.
Yeah, a freak is definitely...
He was a mad weirdo in this one. Didn't like the way he looked. Didn't like the way he spoke. Didn't like the way he talked to people, like treated people. I guess that was sort of the point, though. But like, God, I didn't like even like looking at him.
Yeah, he had a sort of like Jimmy Savile aesthetic going on, like with the long hair and glasses and...
I think he was supposed to look like that, though.
Maybe, like, yeah, I don't know.
Because then it's like revealed that he like made a deal with the devil. And then the devil came to him in the mirror and he said, I will give you youth eternal if you'll just, I don't know what he does. So
what did he do in this mirror for a bit.
Your other self will be in this mirror and he'll get old and you'll be like a young guy. But like, he wasn't like a young guy. He was just like, he had a lot of makeup on, I think. That's probably what made him look really strange and creepy, like a sort of child who was trying to be a man.
Yeah.
Like a boy man. He annoyed me. Everybody's sort of the Beef guy, he was like, he looked like Quentin Tarantino.
I liked Beef guy.
Yeah?
I think the only real reason was just because, I don't know, it changed the pace of the movie a little bit. It wasn't all, let's listen to this one fucking song constantly. At least Beef was doing some stupid shit.
They took their liberties with that, I tell you. Yeah, they were like, now it's Beef time. He comes along.
I don't understand it, to be honest.
So I think out of us three, I'm the only one that actually liked it.
Yeah, not only liked it, adored it with all your heart and soul.
I did love this movie.
What I didn't appreciate was leaning over towards the end and Chris is looking up fucking 4K releases of it and it's like...
No, I was just trying to find the Blu-ray, which is impossible. Yeah. It's like out of print.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, why? Like, why? Although, I don't... I understand why... You might like it. I know it's like it's very campy and it's very over the top and silly and dumb and bullshit. But I get why people would like enjoy it. It's just not something that like really tweaked with me.
We're sort of in the minority, actually, Max. Though, because I was on Letterboxd and everybody was loving this movie. It was everyone's favorite bloody movie.
I feel like I like this for like the same reason I like Rocky Horror.
Do you know what? I knew you were going to
compare. It's very over the top. It's very campy. It's very silly. Feels quite self-aware, and that's what I really enjoy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has that to it, I think.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I respect it for it. That, yeah.
I'm not mad at it in any way.
Yeah, because it knows what it's going for.
Same with Rocky Horror, where I was like, I just got out of that, and I was like, it's not for me.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. I feel like this is a movie that's either going to be for you or it's not going to be for you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there's a middle ground there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Well, I say that. I didn't hate it.
No, all good fun, all in good sort of, you know, quick on
it. It had its moments, for sure.
Its moments. I like when he was like the guy who's trying to get out of jail. That like first part, everything up until him like getting his face burned off and becoming like a birdman, that went like at a rate of knots.
Yeah.
It was like so fast.
Yeah.
It was only when it slowed down, I was like, Jesus, that was like really fast. Even like the way he escapes the jail was like insane. Where he like dies.
Yeah, it happens in like seconds, basically.
He like assaults some guy who was just sort of standing there, and then he like runs and he jumps into a box, and then the box is on the conveyor that like shoots out of the prison for some reason. Like, but everybody's chasing after him and they see him go into the box, but he still gets away and like onto a truck and then he gets out of the box. I'm like, why didn't everyone do this then? If nobody was going to come after him. And then like he gets his face burnt off. And I felt like that the turnaround from him getting out of jail and getting his face burnt off was like 2 minutes.
Yeah. It felt like it.
He was like, I'm running. Oh, well, I'm running. And he runs into the building. He's like, oh, my face. And then like, that's it. And it took like 20 seconds for all that to happen. I was like, what happened?
Yeah,
I fucking blinked and missed it. I was like, what? Oh, but then after that, I don't know. I guess it keeps its pace well enough. It's just, I don't even know if I enjoyed all that. Like him going to the face burning thing.
No.
But then like after that, he's just like sort of like a Batman-esque type of figure.
Yeah, it's like the Phantom, from Phantom of the Opera, basically.
Yeah, except Paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's hiding in the wings and stuff, blowing up cars.
Not playing piano in the basement.
Yeah.
Which,
doing some
fair,
weird Tom and Jerry
fair.
Shit.
I like that bit where he got out of that bricked wall and it just had that like cartoony thing, you know, where they like have a hole in the door and it's made of metal and it's like rolled over. I can't describe
it's just
that
like
very
foil.
Well, but
they put like foil and rolled up some foil.
It looks fucking mad.
That was fun, yeah.
Yeah, I like those kind of bits.
They got a lot of cool like set design and all that, but because it's like they're doing a play, I guess it lends to that in a type of way. So if it feels over the top, that's because it's like theatre and all that. So I didn't really mind all that. They got what they wanted to do out of it, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're going quite hard with a lot of it. I love like all the sets and costumes and stuff. I think they're quite inventive, very fun. Mm-hmm. I love how they're doing this production of Faust, but they've got like a lot of like influences like visually from like some of those old German impressionist movies, like that original Faust movie. Like when there's one of the performers has got like all these like big cardboard sets on stage as well that like look a bit like something from like Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. I really loved all that stuff.
Yeah, that was cool. I did like that as an homage type of deal. Quite fun. But yeah, he was the sort of like a Tom and Jerry type guy when he was like up in the rafters. He like swung that lightning bolt down to kill a beef.
It was really goofy, wasn't it?
I was like, whoa, what's he going to do? Does he have superpowers or something? He was like, nah, I'm just going to sort of throw things at people.
He had really good aim, apparently.
He like blew up those girls on the car. I was like, no! Not the hotties. No.
I liked when they electrocuted Beef and they just like took this like little shot of him like freaking out and like cut the frame rate in half so it looks like really jittery, like it being electrocuted.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
That was good. Very creative with it. I don't know why, like, because he threatens Beef psycho style and says, you will not perform my music. This is only to be performed by that girl from Suspiria. And he's like, fine, I won't do it. And then you'll never kill me. Then like all it takes for him to like go back to it is like his manager to be like, do it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay, all right, fair enough, I'll do it.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that.
Such
he has got not beef. Not beef.
Good old beef.
I thought there was like a lot of quite fun satire like on the music industry, which I wasn't really expecting. There's quite a lot of like, I feel like a lot of the movies kind of hinged on that, like taking a look at how dark and seedy the music industry is and how they don't really care about the people behind it and just try and corrupt them and turn them into people they're not. I thought that was really interesting. I didn't realize that that was going to be what the film was going for.
Oh yeah. When all those girls are like queuing outside, they're doing their singing to get the part. And then this guy like comes back. He's like, that was my song. You stole my song. And then the girl goes in. She's like, clearly, like, we only see like, I don't know, like 5 seconds of what's going on in there. So like a sort of, because the doors open a bit. And then she like comes, and clearly they're all being sexually assaulted. Yeah. And then she comes back out. She's like, "Oh my god!" And he's like, "Did you tell them that my song? That was my song, and they're using my song?" It's like, "Did you just see that? Yeah. That was insane! Oh my god!"
Then they all go back for the girl on girl all out orgy.
Hmm.
That was a time.
Yeah. There's that bit where the Phantom is like performing and he sounds like a robot because he's attached to like this machine to help him speak, and Swan starts using all these filters and like electronic stuff to make him sound good. And I thought that was like quite interesting.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, that
it felt
cool.
Like a little bit ahead of its time in a way, kind of predicted the future of music in a way.
Yeah, predicted Daft Punk.
Any old shit can work. Not
no,
Daft
just
Punk,
how a
but...
lot of like modern musicians use technology and stuff to fix them and make them sound good when they don't really have a lot of talent.
Oof.
All right, so not like Daft Punk.
Nah.
No,
but
sort,
he's got,
sort
you know,
of like
he's got the sort of mask on, and he's doing the stuff with the auto-tune. He's just,
yeah,
he's like the original Daft.
He's just doing what he does. Yeah, he's just doing his thing. He's making that funky music with the box machine and the tinkle-tankle.
Yeah, a lot of vibes. I like that quite a bit. I mean, I wish they would have done more with that, but he was like,
yeah,
how do I just make him sound sort of like a human kind of guy? And he tinkered too much with him and he should have made him sound like a robot. That was awesome. And all like the kind of the boards and the switches were like really inspired.
Yeah, I like that he just kept repeating stuff like synth and then was just like slide.
Just same words, man.
It's very strange. Oh, sorry.
Button. Switch. Music.
For a second, I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
This podcast has died a death, hasn't it?
I'll say, although I did really love this movie, the biggest issue I had with it was the music.
Because it repeated itself over and
great.
Over again. Yeah, for
yeah,
a musical,
like
it doesn't have a lot of variety, does
and
it?
They
yeah.
kind of repeat themselves a lot. And I think the music that is there is not that memorable anyway.
I don't remember it, no, but I know I got sick of that guy's fucking cantata song playing all the time.
Yeah, surely, yeah, it played that many songs you're meant to remember. At least with, you know, that stupid fucking country road song that I don't like, at least that, I could tell you how that one goes. I couldn't
country
tell you
road.
How the... Yeah.
Take me home, yeah.
I couldn't tell you how the so Phoenix nice. Cantano went.
I belong. Yeah. It's not as catchy as that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I just wish they did a bit more with the music, were a bit more creative with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have had more for a musical.
Use it better throughout the movie as well. Because I think the music cues are quite weak also.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
It didn't feel like a musical, really.
No.
It felt like they played music a lot in it, but a lot of it was the same sort of thing. And like literally the same thing, they kept playing a lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything to add, but I feel like Chris is just going to go through some notes.
No.
No?
No, no, we've gone through all my notes.
Cool. Okay.
wow.
I don't know. It didn't really leave all that much of an impression on me. But it's, you know, it's one of those where like, if you like it, you like it. It's like fun enough if you like that kind of thing. If it's up your alley. If you like Rocky Horror, I think it's quite fun in that type of world. Although I do think Rocky Horror is probably a better movie.
It definitely is.
Like a lot more memorable in terms of like the song choices and the writing and the production and all that. I remember that like 10 times over this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I we can go on to the ratings. How do beefs?
Beef!
Yeah, I can see this being a movie that becomes a favourite of mine, to be completely honest, because it is just really just like, it feels like it is kind of made for me. Like, I love this kind of shit. So yeah, I give it 9 beefs out of 10.
Beef.
Yep. I have no beef with this movie, but I do not like it all that much. I'll give it 4 beefs out of 10. Thanks, beef.
I thought it was beefy. 5 beefs out of beef.
No, it wasn't beefy enough.
Damn.
It should have been more beefed.
I agree.
It was only half beefy.
Only half beefy. Talking about beefy movies, we're talking about beefs, beef, beefs, or bodies, bodies, bodies. Jesus Christ, that went down like a fucking ton of bricks.
I just felt like that hurt you more than anything else.
Why the fuck did I say that?
I think we should throw this episode in the bin. Just
yeah, we'll start again.
That's it. All right, roll camera. This one came out last year. Bodies, 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 directed by Helena Rain. Something like that. Helena Rain. It's a murder mystery. It's one of those that's like it's with the resurgence of the murder mystery Cluedo type movies, along with, you know, Knives Out and Knives Out 2, even more Knives Out. See How They Run and all that. This is about a bunch of like really rich 20 somethings. They sort of go to Pete Davidson's house and flies going everywhere.
Oh no, they're fucking annoying.
They go to Pete Davidson's house and Pete Davidson has a big mansion and his parents are out. He's like, everybody come here or take drugs and we'll weigh out this storm because the storm's going to be awesome and epic. And everybody's like, woo, I love. Being in the storm and taking drugs, and then someone gets got, and it's all about who done it, man. Who got him? Who got old Pete? And
I think his name was Dave.
Old Dave. Who got old Dave? We don't know. It's all about them trying to figure it out. Who done it? Who did it? And how are they gonna get out of here? The paranoia, it amps up and they're like, oh fuck man, I'm so high and I'm like kind of like too young to be doing this, but also like I can't get anywhere because it's a storm, man. They're all at each other's throats and the escalation of it all. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. How do we feel about this one?
Yeah, I had a really good time in this. It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I love this movie actually, because I watched it the other month, I think, and I was like, oh man, that was awesome. But I would love to just watch it with other people because I think it is sort of a group type of movie.
It did come across that way,
kind of movie to be watched, I think, in a cinema with a big crowd.
I think that was the original plan.
Yeah.
So many moons ago when it kept,
we were going to. And then didn't.
Okay. Oh, do you what? I can never remember if it's because, like, of you. Shows the most inconsistent screenings, or whether it was because it was we got COVID got like or something else.
I think it got like a week of like it regular was like a solid screenings, week, wasn't it? Yeah. But we were busy with work, and then the following week it was only showing at like 10 PM.
That's what
every night.
They do that best, man. They're like, oh, you got a week to see it, and then you get the fucking Twilight showings, and that's it. You're done.
Good old A24, bring it back. Making their movies super accessible and stuff like that. May still got a Blu-ray, honestly. It's a hit or miss, honestly, with their movies, whether they release them out here or not, or how lengthy do we have to go to get our hands on them?
I kind of felt like it would have had a release. It seemed popular enough.
Yeah, it's very accessible.
Mm.
It's just like a lot of fun. And I think like the comedy comes from like the fact that they're all kind of kids and being quite high, but like not knowing what to do in this situation where they find themselves in Their friend has just been murdered, technically.
Technically.
Or so they think.
Yeah.
It's like, what would happen in that sort of scenario? And I think they do a lot. They do a lot with it. It's quite short, like an hour and a half. It's very in and out.
Yeah.
And it does what it needs to do without like bloating itself out or doing anything too unnecessary. And it keeps you guessing throughout. And I think the first time I watched it, there is like a big spoiler towards the end that sort of brings it all home and sort of what it's all about.
Yeah.
I didn't know that going in the first time. So when that happened, it was like, oh, this makes the movie like really great. Because otherwise, I think like it's like a really good movie on its own without that twist. But like that twist sort of like brings it home. And I'm like, oh, this is why I've been hearing a lot about this movie, clearly. But I managed to avoid all the spoilers about it before watching it. But that's only because I didn't really care about watching it before, I think.
Yeah, I didn't realise that I had seen the spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I seen the clip, but I didn't realise that was a spoiler, if that makes sense.
I saw the spoiler before, like, not long after it came out. I saw it on Twitter.
That's a shame.
I didn't realise it was, like, a big twist at the end of the movie. I thought it was a video.
I
thought it was, like, a like well-known thing about the movie.
No.
Because I think I avoided all the trailers and stuff. I didn't really know a lot about
it. I saw people posting it everywhere, like, and I just thought, yeah, I thought it was just like some sort of like, I don't know, skit or something, because, you know, Pete Davidson does that. So I was like, oh, I didn't really think much of it. And I was like, oh, is that really, really what it is?
People are out there, man. They're ruining things like this.
It's legit. Like, how am I supposed to get into it when I already know what's going to happen? I mean, actually, this movie doesn't really count because I actually didn't know what was going to happen because I didn't realise that was the spoiler. But in normal circumstances, yeah, how am I supposed to get into something if someone's like posted it on Twitter like 2 days after it comes out? What am I supposed to do with this?
Get off Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter, but I just mean like Facebook as well, probably then in that case. But
just delete all social media.
It's the only way. People don't give you enough time to watch things before they go and spoil it. If you don't watch it within an hour.
That's the problem with like making a movie that has a big twist.
Yeah.
Where it sort of relies on a twist at the end. It's like, it's going to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to see it like opening weekend, otherwise you're fucked.
That's what I mean. It just doesn't, work.
Well, I do like the twist. And I think it still works on like a second viewing where I know what's going to happen. And I really enjoy this idea. And I'm going to spoil the twist where it turns out that nobody killed him. He was just doing playing with a fucking Gurkha sword and trying to whip off the cork of a champagne bottle like you saw Lee Pace doing at the beginning of the movie. He tries to film himself doing it. He slices his own throat open in the process. I think that's so clever. It's so much fun because it recontextualizes literally everything that's happened in the movie before, where it's like, okay, so they're not running away from really anyone and nobody's done it. He did it to himself. But you see this escalation of like how these kids, they get it into their heads and they get more paranoid and they start going at each other's throats. And it's like, maybe this probably would happen in this sort of situation where you, like, nothing's really gone, like nothing malicious has happened, but they've taken it upon themselves to get just more and more paranoid. And who did it? They don't know. But I like that a lot, and how it recontextualizes the movie. And on the second watch, I don't think it diminishes the experience. I think it adds like a different experience to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the movie they're kind of pointing their finger at a particular group of people and kind of making fun of them. And I think that twist kind of just adds to that.
It's all about the Gen Zers, isn't it?
Yeah, truly, mate. Truly.
I don't know that it's like making fun of the Gen Zers, really.
I think they're making fun of themselves, if anything.
Some of it feels quite ironic.
Mm.
Like they know it's ironic, but then like on the first go around, I thought like a lot of it was just like doing the humor and thinking that humor was funny, but I don't really find their humor funny.
Although I was going to say, maybe they are sort of laughing at them in a way, because I can't imagine anyone in that cast being the age of a Gen Zer.
No.
They would be us, right? Like, they're not. But then again, it's I still like the self-awareness of it because it is really like, ugh. I don't know, like, yeah, have you ever spoken to a Gen Z? Like, a lot of them are really fucking
thankfully, I stay away
weird.
From that lot. Really otherwise, weird. I'd be put on our list.
Our list? No, we'd be on their list because we're old and sad.
Yeah, I think they do. They do a good job at like making you like the characters as much as they are supposed to be from this generation. That kind of I feel is a bit cringe. They do well with like the cringe humor of it all, and like everybody knows the assignment. They know what they're doing.
Yeah,
all the acting is like they bounce off of each other very well, and you get to know all these characters.
Yeah, like everyone's sort of insufferable, but you're kind of rooting for them at the same time, which is doesn't feel very natural to do, does it? But.
I think it's a really great cast as well. Mm-hmm. Everyone like really fits in the film. Everyone's really fun. I think all the characters all feel pretty distinct and they're all really enjoyable to watch.
They kind of feel like real people as well.
Yeah,
like
they do.
Everyone knows someone who's like super insufferable, but everyone also knows someone who's like went to Afghanistan. No one knows anyone who went to Afghanistan.
It helps they're all supposed to be rich as well, so it's told through that sort of lens. And they get this like really... It's not happening to like the Gen Zers, it's happening to rich kids. Rich kids who like... This is like their idea of a fun time.
Yeah.
You go to their massive mansions
and slap
take a lot
each other
of drugs and slap each other. Yeah.
I didn't really feel like them having wealth really added anything other than like better... scenery for the movie. Mm-hmm. I felt like they could have been poor as fucking dust ash and it would have made any difference, really. I don't think, but...
I don't know. I kind of disagree.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the idea is...
Sorry. No,
I just don't think it really made much of a difference, but then I don't know whether it's because they would have been less arrogant or...
I think, the kind of the idea is that they're rich, they're very privileged, they're probably quite stupid because they don't need
dumb people could be
try.
Stupid, man.
They like get things handed to them. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the whole point and why they're acting the way they are, because they don't know any better because
I don't know. There are... a lot of people out there that aren't rich that would behave like that. Maybe not with the same sort of like...
If we're watching like a bunch of poor people going through this, then it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
And also it
All right. I know there's always that thing about like, eat the rich, whatever. It's funny.
Yeah,
it's
fun to be like these, like a rich kids and they're kind of doing this to themselves in a way.
It does take out the sting there, but... I don't know. I'm not rich. I don't know why I'm trying to defend them. Like, God, fucking... It's always got to be the rich
kids.
I mean,
it's very tongue-in-cheek, you know? But I enjoy that they are poking fun at that sort of demographic and, you know, as we said, like, the cast is so strong. You got Rachel Senna in here, who's, like, probably the strongest character for me. I think like the more I watch her in movies, I'm like, she's like a powerhouse. She's so funny. She bounces off everybody else like really bloody well. And you got Lee Pace coming in, fucking Thranduil himself. And I love him like so much because he's just like this guy that they found off Tinder who's like clearly so much older than everybody else.
He's like 40.
Why the hell are you hanging out with these kids? It's so weird and like freaky. And I guess the idea was to like pit them against each other and be like, well, you just sort of, how long have you known this guy? Like 2 weeks, and you just sort of picked him off the street. You don't even know his last name. And I like this sort of push and pull with all the guys going along. And like Lee Pace, I think I like his character as like a sort of meditative guru type guy.
Yeah.
He's like...
yeah, he is, isn't he?
I guess he feels like in a type of way that he shouldn't really be there, but he's got this hot girlfriend. So like, and all her friends are like in their 20s. All the stuff with like them like trying to kill each other was like... if you don't laugh, like you'll cry at it because it's like... in a type of way, it's like really kind of fucked up what they're doing. And like, how, at the end of this, you're like, well, yeah, it was like a lot of fun, very funny. But, like, so many of them fucking died. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
I like that they'd never, like, downplay the violence either. Mm-hmm. The violence is never comedic or silly or anything. If anything, it, like, it's quite a shock in a way. It's actually, like, quite disturbing.
It's very abrasive.
Yeah.
It was, like, a brutal death for my man Greg there, Lou Pace.
Yeah,
I felt kind of bad for him.
Fucking kettlebelled in the head. Like, twice. Jesus, yeah. But, like, all the time you're like, yeah, he is sort of like the bad guy maybe because he's, like, really kind of the older man and who knows, he might have done it. Who knows? And they're just sort of defending themselves. But, yeah, they never play it off for, like, humor, the violence of it. Every time, like, one of them dies, it's, like, a lot different on a second go around. You're like, you know why they're dying and you know how they're dying. But, Jesus. Imagine that that would like haunt you for the rest of your life if you got out of that and realized you'd killed all your friends.
Yeah.
They end it like at the right moment as well though, and there's no room to breathe afterwards.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, okay, it was all like a massive farce and that's the end of it, and there's no like they go to jail or whatever. It's just like you kind of know what's going to happen. So I appreciate that the movie doesn't like linger too much on it. It's just sort of in and out.
Taken away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Cracking bones, baby.
That sounded delicious.
I love the usage of colours and lighting throughout. I think pretty much all the lighting's like
neon glow
stick.
It's
like diegetics. It's all just like the lights in the house and stuff like that. It feels very natural. A lot of it's shot just through like glow bands and like neon lights and shit, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, they're using all their like phone torches.
Yeah,
there's very good use of that. And like the eye, because when you watch like Gen Z movies, I feel like they have like a crutch for being like showing phones or like new technology and that. As a way to like look quite ugly and like show it in quite an ugly way, but this one they know what they're doing with it, and like I like just like there's a scene where they're like in the dark and then they have to like get their phones out and it's all just like the torches on their phones and like all the glow sticks and that all felt very purposeful. And I watched a lot of there's like a bit of like deleted scenes and behind the scenes stuff on the Blu-ray. There's not like loads, but I watched some of that, and yeah, it all looks like really good and like it's all very well handled. This director is not done all that much, Helena Rain, but you know, if she's gonna do more stuff, I'm probably gonna watch it because like this is super strong. And she clearly knows how to direct all the actors, and everybody's doing what they need to do and hitting their marks very well. And all the right, I don't know, did she write this?
No, it was written by someone else. It was their first feature.
Oh, fuck me. That's like a sick first feature. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Because it's so, like, the writing is so strong and it fails without it.
Yeah, really. It's based on a book, I believe, but I don't know how close to the book it is.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it's probably a little bit more. I feel like they probably took a lot of liberties and probably wrote a lot of the dialogue.
Yeah. We got Sarah Delap, who wrote the screenplay, and Kristen Rupanian, who wrote the story. That's awesome. More from these guys. Because they're like, I think, yeah, this is like a new movie and a lot of people have sung its praises. I think it's not one that people are like, this movie's like the best thing ever. It's just like, it's just like a really fun movie and definitely like a good one for Halloween and the October sort of month. So that's why I wanted to watch it again. And it's like, it's a massive hangout movie, I think, as well. Because as much as like the characters are there and they're all bouncing off of each other, it's like you have fun alongside them as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think as soon as it goes to like Netflix or something, I can see it becoming like a big cult classic.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's very easily accessible and digestible as well. And I think everybody can enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
I gotta love how they were like trying to accuse Greg of being the killer, and Rachel Sennett, her character, was like, No, like, have you seen, like, he's a good guy. I know he's a good guy. And they're like, how long have you known him? He's like, I don't know, 2 weeks. he's a Libra moon. That says a lot.
That was good.
They go in, like, he's just like sort of lying in like this, the home gym, and he's got this like light mask on him. It's just like sort of vibing out, and like, what the fuck is on his face? It's like, that's his light therapy mask. He has seasonal depression.
That was good.
And I do like this sort of escalation where like the idea of them all being friends, it doesn't hinge on all that much in reality. And they clearly haven't, it's like a lot of just like fabrication, and they don't really like, a lot of them don't actually like each other. And you see that with Dave, you know, Pete Davidson's character, him and his girlfriend clearly hate each other, and they're clearly just doing it for like the aesthetics of it all. But, like, they never have a nice word to say about one another. I'm like, dude, why the hell? He says some like horrible shit to her. I'm like, why are you with her then? If you clearly hate her. And then at the end, it like escalates a bit more, where you see the friends kind of going at each other's throats, making fun of Rachel Sennett's podcast, and that got to me. Like, no, not a podcast, fuck. That was great. Like, yeah, you hate listening to her podcast. I was like, fuck. Anybody hate listen to our podcast?
Everyone.
I like your podcast, Alice. What's it about? Hanging out with your smartest and funniest friend. Oh, no. It made me cringe so hard. Whenever I'm like, if I say, yeah, I do this podcast, or like I promote the podcast, there is always that thing in the back of my mind that's like, hanging out with your smartest and funniest friend. Oh, God. It takes a lot of work to do a podcast. You have to organize the guests. You have to do a Google calendar. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. We have to do all these things, man. But that's so much fun. And like how they're sort of arguing about how if they're like, I'm not rich. Like, my parents are not rich. Like, you're upper middle class. Like, no, your parents work at a university, and like, it's a public university. Okay. And just all this like stuff that's like, it's so well written that everybody's just like bouncing off of each other like this. And like, it all feels very natural. It never feels like they're playing it up or anything. It just feels like a conversation that these people would be having under these circumstances, and never feels forced. I really like that about the movie.
I really like the music as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really does fit the tone. I think it fits the audience that it's going for. It's like a lot of hyper pop and like modern rap and stuff. It's all like very abrasive and loud, but I think it works well.
Yeah, and the score itself is quite like it has like this sort of dissonant feeling, but also in a way that's like quite fun and like a bit more lighthearted. You know, you're not watching something that's supposed to be taking itself super seriously.
Yeah, I think it's done by Disasterpiece, if I'm not mistaken. Did It Follows and Under the Silver Lake.
Yeah, those are great scores. Yeah, I love those guys. I don't know if I really got on board all the like the music that they were listening to. Like, they were supposed to be listening to.
I was
like, oh my God, is this what people are listening to these days? It fits the movie, it does, but it's like very grating. And I was like, I was hanging out with some people like the other week, and I think they played this sort of music, and I was like, Jesus Christ, you like this? This is like disgusting.
I listen to this kind of music.
Oh my God. It's like, it's disgusting to listen to. I really hate it. But it makes sense for the movie, and I do enjoy the inclusion of it in the movie. So like as like the final topper, where like all this has happened, and then it just like plays that just batshit song at the end.
Yeah,
I think that's a good way to end it.
Definitely, I agree.
Feelings are facts. No, fact are facts. Great stuff. Okay, we'll do this one out of Google calendars.
Okay. Darcy looked like she was about to say something. She was pondering. Yeah.
No.
I had a really good time in this. I could definitely see myself revisiting it, because it's just a lot of fun. Real light horror comedy. Had a great time of it. I give it 8 Google calendars out of 10.
Yeah, it's good stuff. really great and a lot of fun to watch it with people. I hope that they can, Helena Rain comes out with something soon. Also with Sarah Dunlap, I think they're a good, they do well to work with each other. If they do something else together, that'd be really bloody sick. And yeah, it's just like, it's so well made and like a lot of fun and very funny, which is probably the only movie from this episode that I found genuinely funny. I don't feel that with any of the others. I think I got this assignment right on this one. Yeah, really good stuff. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. An 8, Google Calendars out of 10.
Sorry. What?
Did you just forget what we were doing?
Just rate the movie out of what you want to rate it out of.
Cool. 7 Google Calendars out of 10.
Cool. That's that.
I've spent quite a number of minutes reading reviews of the film that I chose.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are hilarious. So I went with a ballsy one here. So I chose Tusk from 2014. Can't believe it came out in 2014, by the way. Mm-hmm. Directed by Kevin Smith, about this guy who owns a podcast. Do you know what's becoming a theme out here, these podcasts?
I'm getting sick of it.
Yeah. Movies. I was the only one that didn't pick a podcast movie.
And he goes to Canada to do an interview, and then he goes missing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that it?
And that's all we get to hear about this movie.
No, because we'll end up getting there, let's be honest.
It's the walrus movie.
It is the walrus movie.
It's the one where a man gets turned into a walrus.
It's something that I don't know why, maybe out of some sick curiosity, because basically whenever someone goes, oh, don't ever watch that, it's the most fucked up thing you ever see, I immediately go on Google and I'm like, where the fuck can I watch this thing, right?
Yeah, we've all heard of it.
Yeah, and it was one of those, yeah, where I'd heard of it, but it's been on my watch list for like a really long time because I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get around to it, but it sounds kind of dumb, kind of stupid, kind of gross. I was like, oh, maybe not. And
today.
I have to make everyone suffer if we're going to do it. So,
and that we did.
Fucking hell, we did. We really did.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything. There's not really a lot to actually say about it, like other than to just pick apart the fact that
It's shit.
Yeah, it was really bad. I feel like
this came out and then everyone said everything that needed to be said about it.
Yeah, like I don't think I'm adding anything new by saying, wow, it was gross and bad. Ha ha ha. Because that's all it kind of is. It's just like gross and bad. But I feel like, I don't know, because it's meant to be a comedy, I guess it was done on purpose, but it actually was so gross it wasn't funny. It was supposed to be...
It bypassed the comedy because of how grotesque it was.
Mm-hmm.
There's no balance.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I was supposed to laugh when he finally came out looking like a walrus. But it actually filled me with, like, genuine fear. Like, that...
Yeah,
like,
that was, like, disgusting.
Not funny, like, genuine horror.
I felt sad and, like, annoyed.
Yeah, and then we all said that if one of us turned into a walrus, we'd all kill each other or whatever.
Yeah, oh god, yeah.
What the fuck?
Would you still love me if I was a walrus? For no. I'd have to put you down. And I urge you to do the same with me.
Yeah, like, it's really weird because because they're like conversations that you never think to have with other people, right? But like me, it was like with me and Chris watching Dawn of the Dead the other week, and we just have these conversations like really openly, like, oh man, I just want you to know right now, if I become a zombie, don't let me get that far, just fucking shoot me and be done with it. Like conversations that you just don't really have, right? Because like, when am I ever going to be a zombie, or when am I ever going to turn into a war?
Is that not what couples talk about?
Yeah.
Maybe they do.
I feel like that's like half of the conversations people have with each other.
Probably.
If I turned into this sort of thing that was quite disgusting, I'd just want you to end it all.
Oh yeah, a bit like, yeah, would you still love me if I was a worm? The infamous one, yeah. Why
yes,
a worm?
Of course we would. No, yeah, it's like supposed to be in like Canada, but nobody in this is Canadian. They're all American,
yeah,
putting on just the worst accents going.
Yeah, saying a boot doesn't make you Canadian. Yeah.
It makes you a terrible actor, Kevin.
Yeah. The first part of a planned trilogy, which I don't think he's finished now.
No,
I heard... It was like the Great North trilogy. It was meant to be this, Yoga Hoses, and a film called Moose Jaws.
Apparently,
which is Jaws with a moose in it.
Apparently, right. There's a sequel to Tusk called Tusks that is being made.
Okay.
But I feel like what you just said makes way more sense, because if they're going to do a trilogy, shouldn't it at least... I don't know. Why would you call Tusk... not even Tusk 2. Tusks.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't make another one. If you can hear me out there, Kevin.
The more I learn about this man, the more I don't like him. Never seen a single one of his movies that I enjoyed.
Have I even seen any of his other movies?
I don't think so.
No. I don't know.
Have you seen Zack and Miri Make a Porno? That's like the only one I... think you would have seen.
No.
Is that cool and good and fun?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
It's a Seth Rogen comedy.
When you say sure, it makes me think, it makes me immediately think that it is the worst thing ever made.
You can just be candid with us, man. You don't have to sell us on this shit.
We're not going to watch it, by the way, because unless you make me watch it.
I'm not watching anything this guy makes anymore. I genuinely have just like a lot of hatred for the man.
Darcy's microphone is just completely fucked.
You have to crouch down a bit there.
Yeah, it's like flop. Like I've got a fucking...
You got to stop touching it.
Yeah.
That's why.
No, but it fell and then... Yeah, okay, fair enough. It did fall and then I tried to pick it up and it's made it worse. So the thing is, I'm not even that like tall to begin with. So it couldn't have happened to anyone more deserving on the podcast.
You have to fuck your back up for just a little bit longer. Don't worry.
I used to be a huge Kevin Smith fan as a teenager, so I watched this movie when it came out. I followed like the making of like through his podcast. Like
God,
there's an
the
episode
making of Tusk.
There's an episode of the podcast where he like first comes up with the idea.
He came up with the idea on the podcast.
Yeah. So he found this like article of this person who put out this like house like share request, and it was like, if you come live with me, you'll have to dress up as a walrus every day for 20 minutes or something.
Okay.
And he was just like, oh, what if we did like this crazy like Blumhouse horror movie, low budget shit. And then obviously that's then what happened.
Do you know what? It couldn't even piss on Blumhouse.
Mate, Kevin, if you read something like that, it's just like a funny little thing, man.
Was he stoned when he came up with that?
You don't need to like, oh, and also I'm going to make a movie about this and it's going to happen. I had to watch this.
Yeah, so at what point in our podcast career do we come up with a task of our own and then we make
fucking
it?
Fucking hopefully never. I hope that never happens. If it's as bad as this.
Mm. Although I don't like Kevin Smith as much now, I do still like quite a few of his movies, but this is not one of them.
No.
I think he works best when he's making comedies. Even then, like, they're very, very hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when he tries to do horror movies, it just does not work because it's just not within his wheelhouse, I don't think.
I don't know what you mean. No. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
It's like not even like a horror movie. It's just like disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like not any genre at all. It doesn't know what it is.
It's gross
out. It's like anyone could have written this movie. This belongs to no one. It has zero personality. It has zero flair. It's just disgusting for the sake of being disgusting. And he thinks it's funny because he found it on a podcast one day. Like, that's a good movie that does not make Kevin. I'm sorry. you don't need to make a movie about every fucking Craigslist ad you see.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
I think all the stuff with like Wally and the walrus and shit, that's like trying really hard to be disgusting and gross, and that's where like I think he's really going for the horror angle. And then like all the stuff with like Johnny Depp and shit like that, that's where he's like going for the comedic stuff. But I don't think either of them really work well, and they clash when put together.
Is it really bad? Anytime Johnny Depp was on screen, I just kind of wanted to like gouge out my own ears.
Yeah, he is dreadful in this movie.
I don't know how someone who is so successful. I mean, this is just the it's like the prime example of like what a bad director or a bad writer can do with a good, you know, with a talent. Like if you're good, you should be able to not have. I can't explain it, but basically, I don't know how he managed to do this.
I'll be honest. I don't so think shit. Johnny Depp really cares anymore. No, I can't remember the last time I saw him in a film where he wasn't dreadful.
All right. To be fair, no. You do have a fair point. I did forget this film came out not that long ago. In theory, but he was really good Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
So I don't know but that's just a conversation for Johnny Depp, isn't it? It's not about this film, then, is it? It's about the fact that
no one's good in this.
Are some good, quite a lot of good actors in it, to be fair. Like Justin Long, I quite like him.
Yeah, he's called Joel Osment
is good.
Yeah,
in things
they've been good.
Michael Parks, the guy who plays Howard Howe, he's like a really great character actor. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in like From Dusk Till Dawn, Twin Peaks. He's really insane in Twin Peaks as well. Plays this guy with like this really like thick German accent, I believe. Like a really like mustache twirling villain.
Lol.
Oh, lovely.
Sounds delightful.
Yeah, and he was actually in another one of Kevin Smith's horror movies called Red State. And I think he's actually quite good in that. But I don't really like him that much in this.
I mean, I guess
think he's going a bit too over the top of it.
Is it just because everything is awful, so it just immediately amplifies how awful everything else is? Although, if I'm being honest, Johnny Depp was actually the worst part of this movie for me.
Yeah, he is.
He wasn't even in it for
too
that
much
long.
On him as well.
Yeah, they
he's got like this whole fucking monologue spiel.
Horrific.
Goes nowhere. He says like one thing for about 10 minutes. And it's just like, it's so hard to watch.
And halfway through it cuts to this scene where he met Howard Howe that goes on for like an hour.
I don't even know what that scene was even meant to really tell me, other than the fact that he had already met this man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't really give me anything.
No clue, yeah.
Although it was funny for about the first 5 seconds that Johnny Depp was on screen, because his accent is like so bad.
Mm-hmm.
That it was actually really funny for about a minute. I was laughing at pretty much everything he was saying. And then after that, I thought, okay, it's done now, isn't it? Johnny Depp is over.
Really kicks in that's the character and you're going to have to spend a lot of time with him.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's just regret. It was like, oh, man.
I just really wanted to watch Curse of the Black Pearl again.
Yeah.
Like, man, that movie's good. Why the fuck aren't we watching that?
Is that the first one?
Yeah.
That one is great. That's actually probably the best one.
Yeah, that's the only one 100%. Of those I like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't mind the second one, or the third one for that matter, but after that, I don't know how many trilogy. There are. Seven? Five?
Something like
six?
That, yeah.
I don't know.
It's a lot of those.
One came out and I didn't even realise it was even a thing, because I used to, for a little while, I went to go see all of them in the cinema, like when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, one just came out and I was like, didn't even know there was
that many of them. You know, like Salazar's Revenge.
Yeah, like, what's that?
I changed the name. Changed the name from it.
Could have told me it was anything. Two I don't names. Know.
I was like, I don't think we could cope with Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Yeah, apparently not.
Which is a shame, because that title's actually pretty sick.
Sick fucking title. I don't know why they changed it.
Because we're boring.
We're boring and lame. Mm.
Speaking of boring.
Should we rate this movie?
No.
What?
I've got stuff to say about
it. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Annihilation of the character.
Like one of my notes.
Go on, mate.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. He wrote more notes for this than anything else, but I assume it's just inept comments.
You told me that Kevin Smith remortgaged his house to make this movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
No fucking way.
Unbelievable.
Now, I refuse to believe. Right, I'm going on IMDb right this moment.
That's mad. Imagine fucking doing that to yourself just to make this.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it did quite well. Myself.
Yeah,
in
I think
sense.
It worked out for him.
Yeah.
Though.
My God.
I'm pretty sure when it came out, it was like, it was fairly unsuccessful, but not like to the point where it lost loads of money. I think he made his money back, but it's like become a bit of a cult hit.
It is definitely a cult thing.
I think the dialogue is really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so unnatural. Kevin Smith has this like very distinct like style of writing that's quite like think very rooted in that like 90s indie sort of like Richard Linklater, Tarantino sort of aesthetic. And like it works in something like Clerks or Chasing Amy, I think, but it doesn't work here. I think it just feels very unnatural.
Yeah. Sorry. I just, my favorite new thing that I've read. Most of the budget was used to get the rights to Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. Can't even and it was filmed in 15 days. So that explains a lot.
Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that does play in this movie.
Yep. Yeah. Used to obtain the rights. I can't imagine how much money that would have been.
Just a fucking terrible use of that song. Terrible use of like literally everything that's going on here. It's like he got like a bunch of stuff that like was good on paper, except maybe the script. And then he was like, what if this was all just terrible? What if I made it all bad?
There was like a lot of like weird commentary on like early 2010s, like edgy, like YouTube humor and stuff. Mm-hmm. Where it's talking about the podcast. And that was really weird because it felt like it was trying to comment on it, but also like copy it at the same time.
Yeah.
Couldn't really seem to work out whether it wanted to be the edgy thing it was making fun of or whether it wanted to make fun of it.
It doesn't know. They also don't know what a podcast is or how to do a podcast. I mean, I know we fucking scrape by here, but at least we know to put our mouths to the microphones when we're speaking.
Yeah. Which is mad
most of the time.
Kevin Smith has like 10 podcasts or something ridiculous. Like he knows how to do it. He was doing it for like over a decade at that point.
It's crazy. That is crazy.
Apparently, Johnny Depp improvised most of his lines for this movie, which makes that somewhat so much worse in my mind.
Could have fooled me.
Yeah.
You never know though. I just don't know because it's all bad. Yeah. How do you differentiate between like what feels like improvised lines and what feels like it's just written in the script?
That's it. I wouldn't have known, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if anything feels improvised because it all just feels very unnatural.
And that way, everything feels improvised.
Yeah. If I was to like give the movie some praise, I do think the practical effect works quite good for me. Effects for the walrus.
The walrus suit is made of foam and polyester. Yeah. And apparently in some scenes, faces can be seen in the suit, which sounds fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I know it's that.
I don't know.
Looks like the absorber off.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it looks amazing. No. But I kind of feel like it's going for a particular vibe. It is kind of meant to look a bit rubbery and fake, and I do quite like it. I like the design.
I thought that kind of was the point because it was kind of like, you know, low budget kind of looking, so it was going to look really...
Yeah, I don't know. I hated everything about it.
Well, fair enough.
I hated how it looked.
Yeah.
It was just fucking Justin Long's face. It was the eyes that fucking did it. It looked disgusting.
His real ass
eyes. Real eyes and his face just there. It was literally like the Absorbolov or like that fucking Cassandra from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Like, just like stretched a bunch of skin over Justin Long's face. And been like, yeah, it's like he's a walrus. But it's like, no, he's just like clearly stood up in a fucking Mr. Blobby outfit. Looks like shit. It's all stitched together and like bleeding. It's like, oh God.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I guess it was supposed to look like that. But I don't appreciate it because it just looked gross and disgusting.
I kind of felt that was the point, but I do agree. Like it was hard to look at a lot of the time because it was just so ugly.
Mm-hmm.
The whole film was really ugly, actually.
Like a really horrible ending as well.
It was actually torturous, actually, wasn't it, to be honest?
Yeah, it was just like screaming. And we were like, oh, if I turn into a walrus, you have to kill me. And we were like, yeah, no problem.
Well, yeah, because I was like,
that's exactly what I thought they were going to do. I'm like, who the fuck wants to live like this? He's literally screaming. And in the end, they don't even do that. They're like, well, what if we just put him in a zoo or something?
Oh, and
yeah,
then,
which makes no sense.
Yeah, and then play a Gerard Way song that was also awful. What the fuck? It was actually awful.
Oh, God.
I expect more from my boy.
Poor Gerard.
Yeah, it was bad. That really, like, it was like the tip of the fuck you iceberg that was this movie, was like, here you go. Not only is the ending horrific, but now you have to listen to a terrible song by Gerard Way.
Yeah.
Off topic, I do wonder how much of Darcy's vocals are actually being picked up?
Probably none.
Oh, even less now. Can you just take the microphone out and like
actually,
just fucking
yeah,
hold
but
it to
do
your
know
mouth
what? We haven't got that
and
long
we can
left.
Just wrap this shit up.
Yeah, hold on. We haven't got that long left. I'll just. Chris, just edit all this like fucking nonsense out.
No, I'm not going to remember.
Oh my good God.
I can't get it in.
Just hold it where it is.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
You're
going
to have to unplug it to take
it. We'll be done in 2 minutes.
Okay, well.
Literally 2 minutes.
Okay, well, let's rate this then so I don't have to hold this microphone like a cunt. I don't know what we're going to do with this next week. Next week, whatever.
I don't know.
Whenever. Shakira.
What are we going to rate this one out of then?
Chug-a-lugs.
Sure, he was drinking that.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, and this is really bad. I used to actually really like this when it first came out.
Shameful, my brother. Shameful.
It's been like one of those where I liked it at the time, but over the years, the more I think about it, I've been like, yeah, that was actually quite bad. I don't really understand why I liked it. So I had been putting off rewatching it. And now watching it, I'm like, I don't see what I saw in it at all.
No.
But I don't even really understand how I had any positive thoughts about it. So 2 out of 10, 2 chug-a-lugs out of 10.
Chug-a-lug.
I never wanted to watch this movie. I actively avoided it. So to have it forced upon me was like a betrayal. I felt like you hated me and you wanted me to suffer. It's not funny. It's barely a movie. It was barely written. It didn't feel like it was directed by anyone. It's like the worst a movie can be. It's absolutely appalling. It doesn't even feel like a movie to me. It just feels like porn. I'm going to give it 1 chug-a-lug out of 10. And that is being fucking generous.
I was just thinking that is pretty generous. I can't really follow up on that. 2 chug-a-lugs.
Cool. Right, that caps off the end of this one, episode 134. For the next episode, we got season 1 of Cowboy Bebop, or, you know, just Cowboy Bebop to watch, the animated show from Chris. That's his recommendation.
Yeah.
And also maybe the movie if you want to watch that. I hope I have time to do that because I do want to watch that. Great. Any last words?
No.
Cool.
Chug-a-lug.
Well, we got social media. You go follow that. YouTube, the Sunday Movie Marathon. Instagram at Sunday Movie Pod. Give us a little rating if you want. And see you on the flip side. Catch you later, Space Cowboy. Where the fuck they say in that show?